Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, best-selling author of The Little Red Book of Selling. Boom.
And I'm Jen Gluckow of Sales in a New York Minute, and this is Sell or Die, real world sales talk, no bullshit, no tricks.
No tricks?
No tricks, no bullshit, real world sales talk.
Okay, we're interviewing the best minds on selling and personal development, and we're doing it live. Why do we do it live? Because you make sales calls live. You can't pre-tape a sales presentation.
Plus, we're taking your sales questions live. Send them to @Gittimer on Twitter or @Jen in a New York Minute on Twitter, or simply reply to the Facebook post that you're watching from. I hope you're not just listening to us, but that you're watching us on Facebook Live. It's that simple.
So reading every single one of your questions and every single word of every one of your questions, we have a man behind the glass, our producer. The great, the one, the only, Doug Branson.
Great intro, guys. Hello,
thanks for
Jeffrey.
All that applause out there in the listening.
I'll give you some applause. There we
okay,
go.
Okay, cool.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. A reminder to our live Facebook audience, viewers out there, you can listen to this show or any of our past shows anytime you want by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die.
You get your podcast at like 7-Eleven or something?
Yeah, exactly. Anywhere, anywhere.
You go to Harris
Teeter to get your podcast.
A guy sells them to you on the side of the street, wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, buddy, you want to buy a podcast?
I got a podcast for you. Leave us a 5-star review if you happen to be on iTunes and help salespeople like yourself find our podcast. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
At about 3:30 in the morning, I turned the television off finally.
It was a late night.
Yeah,
for sure.
We have a new president, and like him or not, just recognize this, 48% of the world can hate your guts, and you can still be president of the United States. But we had a New York sales week, you know, hanging out in the city.
It's amazing that it's only, what day is today? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Because it feels like it should be Friday. I mean, it's like the amount of meetings and stuff you do when you're in New York, it's just so hectic. So boom, boom, boom.
We met with our digital marketing firm, Ajax Union, the Applebaum brothers, Joe and Yehudi, and their team. And we have created a bunch of brand new, I would say, strategies to employ that will increase our sales. And I implore everybody who follows me or who follows Jen to look at these strategies and then duplicate them or emulate them, because they're not mystery, they're not rocket science, but they work.
Yep.
And I think that's probably the main thing. I want to talk about one other thing. I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but Owler is now a proud sponsor. It's Know Your Competitor's Next Move Before It Happens. I get my Owler information every morning. I like to look at companies.
Do you think
that
Clinton had?
I don't know whether Clinton
on Owler.
I don't know. But I'm sure they both took a look at it. But it's the crowdsourced competitive intelligence platform that book business professionals to outsmart their competition. I think that's the whole deal. And you gain competitive insights and you uncover the latest industry. But I have the official Owler t-shirt that was sent to me today.
I want that.
No, you can't.
Yeah,
have
I
it.
Want it.
That's cool. Hey, give me one of those.
I'm wearing it next week. And
that shirt is so soft.
No, you can't stop me. It's the official Owler t-shirt. And listen, you can follow me on Owler. I'm going to start to post videos on there. And just go to when you go into Owler.
You're
search.
Showing it on the screen. That's
whoa,
so cool.
Search by Gittimer.
We are like high tech here.
Hold
wow,
a minute.
I love
whoa, whoa,
that.
91%
wow.
People like me. I love that kind of stuff. Whoa.
Wow. You only have 328 followers?
Dude,
that's bullshit.
Exactly. That's bullshit. So you go on to Owler right now and click the star and follow me, please. What's that t-shirt say? It says, live in wonder. I fly with this shirt a bunch and people look at me like I'm some kind of freak, but I fly, you know, I'm very comfortable when I fly. People fly in a suit and they look like I don't know. They get out of the plane. Their suits all wrinkled.
Have you ever worn a suit, Jeffrey?
Yes, I have.
Okay, just checking.
Daughters were married, suit.
Got it.
So you go to owler.com, OWLER.com, and find my name. But go subscribe. Follow me. Find the name and go. Now, coming up, we are celebrating the month of November.
No, like no. November.
Wait a minute, Jen. Like N-O, no?
Like N-O.
Okay, well, but you could also be K-N-O-W, because we're going to do both tonight. And we've could got be. An entire month of shows on battling objections. Now, everyone has objections. How do I do this? But take it, Jenny.
So here's the deal. As salespeople, you hear no all the time. And we're going to help you turn some of those no's into a yes. We're going to translate some of the most common objections and tell you what customers are really thinking behind what they're actually saying. And we're going to get you motivated with our friend, Joe Applebaum.
So let's get into it. It's time to sell or die.
Objections. Salespeople always hear them. Jeffrey, and to you out there listening or watching us on Facebook, I know you hear objections.
Facebook Live. Right.
If you're watching us live on Facebook, use the comment button at the bottom. Use a comment feature and send us your most commonly heard objections.
And we will ignore it, but it sounds like we're going to do
something. No, we're going to read them. We're going to help you. Okay, tell us what people are saying. Cool. Actually, we even have some people here live in the studio. If you're in Charlotte, you can join us live on Wednesday nights. But we have some people live, and we want to hear their objections, too.
Yeah, live studio audience. Say hello, live studio audience.
Hey. Hello. There you go.
Hey.
Can't see them, but they're here.
It's $1,000 a ticket, but these guys tonight, we let them in for nothing because they were lost and we just let them in.
It was cold outside.
Right, it was cold outside.
All right, so let's begin with this question. Is it more important for people to understand how to battle objections or how to prevent objections?
And keep in mind that what Jen is saying here on the battlefront is not overcoming objections. That sounds way too simplistic. What happens is the customer says something like, I got to think about it, and or I have to go to my committee, or we already use you. We don't like. There's 1,000 objections. We're going to cover them one by one. But you think all you have to do is overcome it. And I'm going to tell you that's probably the dumbest way to deal with an objection.
Well, if you're trying to overcome it, it's probably too late.
I agree. So the challenge for you is to look at objections a different way. I refer to them as a barrier. And it's something between you and the customer. What they're telling you is not yet. What they're telling you is I may have an interest, but you got to deal with this kind of crap. Or I may have lied to you and told you I'm the decision maker when in fact I am not the decision maker.
But Jeffrey, most people don't realize that the customer might be telling you not yet. You think that because you're assuming the sale. Sometimes right. People might be thinking they're actually saying no. And so that's a really important piece of this is that you don't take it as a no, you take it as a not yet.
Always. I assume that the customer has bought and they have to talk their way out of it. And something as simple as an objection or a barrier is not going to, someone says your price is too high. That's one of the biggest buying signals on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It means they want it, but they don't perceive the value yet. But we'll talk about that later. Meanwhile, I'll have a sip of Death Wish coffee.
So let's talk about some of the keys to handling objections.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Do you have any keys, Jeffrey?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Well, I have them in my pocket. I have the key to handling objection is to be prepared. You have to know that the customers, can you imagine the customer says our price is too high and you say, price is too high? I've never heard that before.
Actually, that's what one of our watchers on Facebook just wrote. Rory wrote, your price is a little high.
Yeah, everyone's price is high. I mean, has anyone ever said, your price is too low, I'll take two?
No, it's not
going to happen. So what you have to do, and can we do prices too high a little bit of it right now? I'm asking our producer.
We'll get to it in later in the show. We got to leave something for later in the show.
Okay.
All right. We can't tell you yet. You have to keep watching.
Yeah.
If you want to know
I know that one of the keys, Jen, that you shared with us earlier is that you can't quit. You can never quit when objection after objection comes. You have to find creative ways. I think you have a story on that, right?
Yeah. So I was selling educational software many years ago, and I drove an hour away to a customer.
Not that many years ago. You're only 30.
I'm 33, Jeffrey.
Oh, dropping
anyway.
Ages.
3 years ago.
All right. So, no, it was like 5 years ago. But anyway, okay. So I went to this customer's school because it was a school district, and the principal said, I love your software. I really want to buy it, but I don't have the money right now. Now, in many cases, that may be an objection, but in this case, it was real because they have education districts, school buildings get specific funding, and if they've spent their money, there's literally none left. And they may be able to get grants, whatever, but he had no money. And so I could have very easily given up and gone home and drove, 60 miles back home, 75 miles back home, and I decided, wait a minute, there's still a way to win here. So I had built a great rapport with him, and I said, who do you know that's in the area, that's in the district, that you could refer me to who might benefit from this software solution? And he thought
AKA
about it for a minute.
Might have the money.
Right. And he thought about it for a minute. He goes, hold on. And he literally he knew this principal's number in his head, dialed in, and he goes, I have a girl here. She's selling software. She's going to be right over. I'm directing her to your school. You've got to buy what she has. And she did.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there's the objection. You can't be defeated when you have this objection, unless you're a manipulator. Some of the old world salespeople will say, look defeated when they put the objection up. It's total bullshit. Just be a human being. If the guy says that they want to think about it, there's a reason they want to think about it, and that is that the customer doesn't perceive enough value in what you are saying or what you're doing or what you're offering to move forward, plain and simple. I just want to throw a bigger piece at it. And the bigger piece to me is I want to prevent the objection. I don't want to have to deal with objections. I want to prevent them. And I want to talk about my reputation. I want to bring all kinds of testimonials with me. I want to bring value propositions that are in favor of the customer so that when I'm making my presentation, the person will never perceive that price is an obstacle, will never perceive mm-hmm. that they got to talk to three other people before. Well, we have to take three bids. That's bullshit. All you're saying is, I don't believe your price. I don't believe your stuff. And if they say take three other bids, you say, did you really want to take three bids or did you just want to find out three other prices?
Mm-hmm.
And then you wait for that answer. And if the guy says, well, I just want three other prices, you say, well, here's all my competitors. Here's all their prices.
I love that.
And you have a list of all the stuff. And then you say, press hard, three copies.
All right, Jeffrey, it's time to head to Facebook to say hello to some of our watchers.
Okay.
And so I don't know where you guys are watching from, but if you could write in the little comment section where you're watching from, that would be so cool. We have Jason, we have Amy, we have Peter, we have Brenda. Hey, guys, thanks for watching.
Hi. You want to give me an objection or something? Come on.
I don't know. They said, if the price is too high, don't buy it. Easy as that. Nice wrap, Jen. I think they're talking about my hat. Thank you so much. It's from France. Peter says, I want to be different by using another brand. Is that an objection?
I don't know.
No, I think he just has a question about.
Oh, Peter wants to be different.
We can take that. We can take that question. Yeah.
Okay.
If being different by changing your brand, what do you guys think about that?
I
don't understand the question.
I don't either.
What do you mean? Peter, what do you mean?
Yeah, come on, Peter. Get back on there and clarify.
All right. We'll get a clarification later on.
Yeah. Maybe. And Brenda says, how to battle objection resonates more to me. Cool.
Oh.
All right.
So,
wait a second.
She brings up a great point, and we kind of had a little bit of an argument here because I think some salespeople think, well, look, I don't know if I can prevent the objection. I need to know how to battle the objection when I get it.
That's bullshit.
But you have to battle it before you get it. That's the whole point. If you battle it before you get it, then it's not going to create a barrier to the sale.
That's correct. You walk in knowing what the objections are going to be. They got to talk it over with somebody. Maybe there's a committee. Maybe there's a spouse. They have to look at the price to see if the value is there. They have to find out if there's some kind of a budget that's involved. Is it too much money for them? And these aren't new things. There's no new objections. The only new objection in the last 100 years is I can get it cheaper online. That's it. Somebody goes into Barnes & Noble, they Amazon shop it, or you go into Best Buy, you Amazon shop it, and that's why you lose. That's it, because they perceive it's a commodity. You know, the book is the book, or the washing machine is the washing machine, and they'll buy it for $20 cheaper, unless you offer some kind of service, which now, by the way, Barnes & Noble is going to redo all their stores. They're opening up all these new online stores where you can buy stuff, download the...
It's about time.
Yeah, well, that only took 10 years and probably the brink of bankruptcy, but that's a whole other issue.
Okay, so we're going to move on for now, but thank you for all your comments. If you're listening to our podcast and not watching our podcast, if you're listening on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, join us live Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern time so that you can get involved in the show. We'll read your comments, we'll respond to your questions, and we'll help you out. And you can always send questions and comments to our producer, Doug, at sellordie@gittimer.com. All right. We've got a lot of show left.
I have nothing to say here. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's not your turn, Jeffrey.
All right.
All right.
I got it.
So we have a lot of great show left, but we found this clip on the Gittimer Learning Academy.
Ooh.
And it's absolutely, you're going to have something to say in a second. It's an absolute, I can't speak. It's an absolutely amazing online learning platform for salespeople.
I think your hat is cutting off your circulation. I
think no, my hat's perfectly fine.
Okay.
So the Online Learning Academy is for salespeople in every industry. You can learn more about it by going to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com. Actually, leave off the. Just GittimerLearningAcademy.com.
And if you think the price is too high at the Gittimer Learning Academy, we have a cheap bastard button. And you can just click that button and it will take you right to a discount.
So the piece we're about to air, we found, reveals something about objections that may shock you, but it's a cold, hard fact.
I love it.
Take a look.
Objections, for the most part, are lies. It's absolutely amazing to me how many times you'll be in a situation with a customer and they'll throw out some kind of phony excuse about what they can do and what they can't do and what they gotta do and where their business is. But the bottom line is, they're lying to you. And maybe it's not like a big lie, maybe it's just a little lie, but the bottom line is, as we all know, the customer, for some reason, is protecting the real truth. Let me just put it that way. They're protecting the real truth. They may not want you to talk about their business in some form or fashion, or they may not want you to just know what's going on because it's none of your business. But the bottom line is, they're stalling you for some reason. They will not buy from you for some reason. And you, as a salesperson, are not only flabbergasted by it and aggravated by it, but you're even unprepared for it. If you can find out why the objection occurred, then you have a chance, a real chance, for eliminating it the next time. So I'll give you the technique today, but the bottom line is you have a much more powerful and a much bigger challenge, a much more powerful prospect and a much bigger challenge issued to you to find out why that objection occurred so that the next time you can eliminate it won't even exist. Do that.
That was awesome. That's just one part of an entire series that you can find on the Gittimer Learning Academy. Make sure you head over to GittimerLearningAcademy.com after the show, or just go to a different browser and pop it in and find out more about the future of sales training. As you said in the clip, Jeffrey, sometimes prospects aren't telling the whole truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes prospects will lie to you more than you will lie to them.
It's amazing how that works. But they might not tell you the whole truth, especially when they're giving you their objections. Mm-hmm. There's like a hidden meaning behind what they're actually saying.
That is correct.
So we're going to help you tune your bullshit meters so you can detect and deflect.
That's right, Jen. We have a few objections here, and we're going to translate what they mean. So we'll take turns. You take one, I take one. One of us will read it, the other will translate it. You have the first one, Jen.
All right, ready?
No.
Ready now?
Yes.
Okay. We spent our whole budget.
This is a person who is given a budget by somebody bigger than them. And I don't ever want to talk to the person that spends the budget. I'm talking to a non-decision maker who has to ask their daddy or their mommy for more money. I want to talk to the person that makes the budget, because the person that makes the budget can do anything, add a zero to it, and now you have someone that actually pulls the trigger.
Look at these graphics. This is our producers are so good.
Our technical director, Chris,
and our producer, this is awesome.
It's very,
way to go, guys.
Listen, we're sitting in the studio. We are damn impressed.
Yeah, we're impressed.
Okay, go ahead. Facebook Live, by the way, is going to change everything.
Yeah, people are writing in where they're watching from, just like I asked. This is so cool. There's like live response.
Do we have anybody from Malaysia yet?
I don't know. We
Come on, you people, wake up. Someone from Queens, someone from Greenville. Oh, Queens. That's right near Malaysia.
Yeah. Next door, their neighbors.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Okay. We're satisfied with who we're doing business with right now.
That's in mine now?
Oh, it's mine,
No,
I guess.
I'll take it. Satisfied with somebody means that they are accepting the lowest level of possible service in order to move forward.
Or the lowest price.
And so what I'm going to tell you is you take that, you go, satisfied? That's funny. All of our customers are ecstatic. So if you'd like to be ecstatic, maybe we should talk a little bit about why our customers are ecstatic, or maybe I should show you a couple of videos of ecstatic customers so you can understand the difference of where you are and where you should be.
Well, if you know who their current vendor is, you could even get some of your customers who switched from that vendor.
Yep. And you could prevent it by saying, in the very beginning of your talk, say, you know, I represent so-and-so, and our customers are amazingly ecstatic and humbly loyal to us. And let me show, I'm going to show you one little video clip for 30 seconds before we start. And now you've taken away that whole piece of I'm satisfied with who I've got.
Yeah, especially if they're using who you've got or they used who you got prior.
Go ahead.
All right, what's the next one, Jeffrey?
I don't know. We did business with you once before, but you sucked.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That, I mean, that could be true. If that's true, you have to figure out how to...
You basically have to beg for another chance.
Yeah, but you also have to make them feel assured that you're not going to suck ever again. And so you may want to go in there and figure out a way to prove to them how you're not going to suck or how you're not going to screw up again.
You're going to need some video testimonials at this point. And those testimonials have to speak for you rather than you speak for yourself.
Or provide your service for free for a month.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So where are we at now? Oh, this is the major piece.
Your price is too
high. Yeah, price is too high. So take it, Jen.
Your price is too high? That means that when you were trying to sell me on something, I did not perceive the value. And so I don't understand why I should be paying that much for whatever it is you're offering me. I don't see the value. You didn't do a good job telling me exactly how it's going to help me or how I'm going to win from it.
And not everybody buys the lowest price. The number, by the way, is somewhere around 30 to 40% of people will buy price and the rest will buy value. So if there's something that you can do that proves value, people will actually pay the extra price. But the best way, to me, the only way to do it, is by letting your customers speak for you on your Facebook page, on video, in video, to talk about, I thought the price was too high, but when I start to do business with them, I realized that their service was amazing. I realized their response time was amazing. I thought that their quality of their product was better. All the things that you're going to try to pitch to this customer need to be told to your prospective customer by your existing customers. That's the way to the sale.
That's awesome. All right. So your price is too high objection is probably the most common objection we hear as salespeople.
Yeah.
It's one that's really tough to combat once it's said, but what if you could keep it out of the conversation altogether?
Yep. Suppose you could prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think our prices are too high, Mr. Jones, but let me explain that the value of what we offer supersedes our price. Let me share with you why, so that when I get to the end of my presentation, I don't want to hear you saying my price is too high. You got that, bub?
All right, so I've got a tip for you from my Sales in a New York Minute series.
Whoa.
Take a look.
I'm sorry. Your price is just too
too low. Wouldn't that be nice to hear? How your customer values your offering depends on how you've positioned it. Did you show up and throw up? Or did you listen to their needs and why they want to buy? If a customer values your offering enough, they may be willing to buy it at almost any price. Think about a nice piece of art.
Whoa.
You might be willing to pay $100 for a reprint, while someone else might be willing to pay $100,000 for the original. It all depends on perceived value. The price that they pay is based on their perceived benefit. What's your customer's perceived value and perceived benefit? Find out what they value, and you may hear that your price is too low in a New York Minute. All right, so here's what you got to do. Go to my YouTube channel. Just search Sales in a New York Minute on YouTube and get more tips for free. No price is too high. It's free. Just subscribe.
But okay.
Before we go back to Facebook, because we're getting, like, it's blowing up. We're getting all these comments. It's really cool. We're going to go to Doug. Doug, do you have any questions for us? I think someone sent in an email.
Yeah, someone sent this via email. This comes from Old School Joe. Old School Joe writes, do you like sending a handwritten, personalized card referencing the customer and a mutual acquaintance or referral as a way to get appointments? And Joe also says, P.S., bald guys rule.
Thanks, Joe.
Old school Joe.
I love walking into a hotel to check in, by the way, and they say, can I help you? And I say, yeah, I'm here for my hair transplant. And they don't know what the hell to say. The old school Joe thing of dropping somebody's name, in my opinion, should be done on a phone call, because that will get you talking about it back and forth. Oh, yeah, I know Bill. And then you have some co-experience with them. Then you write the thank you note. You set the appointment, then you write the thank you note.
Yeah, so I agree with you, Jeffrey. And I think for old school Joe, I mean, this is maybe old school or not, I don't know. But if you really have a mutual acquaintance or friend, get them to introduce you. It's so much more powerful if Jeffrey says, hey, Doug, I need you to meet my friend Jen. Now Doug wants to meet me because I'm Jeffrey's friend Jen.
I agree.
Okay, and then
and
send
believe
something.
Me, you will want to meet Jen.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
You're welcome, honey.
All right. So should we go to Facebook, Doug? All right. If you haven't joined us yet on Facebook and you're just listening in, go to facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer or facebook.com/Jen in any minute, and you will get our live streams. So let's see. First, we're going to say hello to some people here. We have Corey, Richard, Brenda,
holy
John,
smoking, wow.
Andre,
so
Kenneth, Peter, Sam,
I love this
is Chris, Josh, Amy, Rocky, Lainey, Dayson. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So cool. Thanks, guys. Eduardo, I missed you. Catherine Alexis, Lucia. Okay, this is really cool. Catherine Alexis says, Catherine's from New York, totally close to Malaysia, by the way.
Yeah.
And she gets to speak to Jeffrey tomorrow, too. She's a winner. Do you know how she gets to speak to Jeffrey?
I think that we sent out a thing saying, I'm going to talk to a bunch of sales managers. And she was selected.
So yeah. She gets to have a phone call with Jeffrey tomorrow. Very cool. And he's going to help her with one of her biggest sales challenges.
Mm-hmm. Uncensored, uncut.
All right. So, Doug, do we have any questions on Facebook that we should be answering?
Yeah, let's answer this one from Andre. Andre wants to know, how do I get to sell to big companies like Coca-Cola without getting the, just send us an email. There's an objection.
Find a contact.
Well, you have to know somebody inside. I mean, if you're going to deal with a Fortune 500 company, you make a cold call. You're a freaking moron. You have to have something smarter than that. Now, if you really want to make it cold and make it warm, then you call the admin of the head of that department and you say, listen, I'm doing leadership interviews for my blog, and I've selected your guy as somebody I want to do a blog post with, or somebody I want to do a podcast with, or somebody I want to do a video of and post it on my blog. Now you sit down with that guy and do an interview, and you post the video, and now you're somebody. That person they'll comb their hair for you. They'll make sure their shirt's on straight. I mean,
their Owler shirt on straight, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Let me show you my Owler shirt. So they'll make sure their Owler shirt's on straight.
I like that shirt.
It's totally cool. It says, Aller makes me smarter. And it does, by the way. The first thing I do, I wake up, I write, you know, I have some personal things to do, like brush your teeth and stuff. Then I look at my Aller. They have my.
Is that the first website you normally go to in the morning?
It's not a website. It comes right to my
email.
Inbox.
Is it the first one of the first emails you read?
Yeah.
Cool.
So many names here on Facebook. We've got Sam. We've got Josh. We've got Amy in Atlanta. If we don't get to your question or if we don't get to your name, here's what to do. Tune in next week, Wednesday at 6 o'clock p.m. live here on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer or Facebook.com/JenInAnyMinute. And we'll get to your question.
See, Doug does it such a nice next
way. Yeah, he does. So, this is so cool. So Richard Charlotte. Cortez from San Antonio, Texas, but he's originally from Philly, says he has a cheesesteak waiting for you, Jeffrey. Cool. It might be getting cold.
So, but really, if we don't get to all your stuff, tough shit. It just happens. There's nothing
He's
we can
so
do.
He's so real. You got to love it.
All right. So, let me tell you something that I object to. Feeling tired at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And that's why when I drink coffee, I drink Death Wish coffee. It is the world's strongest coffee, and it is the coffee of Sell or Die. It is the coffee of Buy Gittimer, and it is the coffee that we offer to every single person when they come in here, and they leave jacked.
Oh, yeah. It's made from the strongest possible combination of perfectly roasted coffee beans. They have 100%. No bullshit, money back, guarantee. We drink it in the studio when we do the show. We drink it all the time. We have like bags upon bags in New York as well. So go get your first bag of the world's best, strongest coffee, deathwishcoffee.com.
Go, go. Now, sometimes when you get an objection, Jen.
Or several objections, Jeffrey, and the sale doesn't go your way, it can make you angry. And that anger could actually be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So our friend Joe talks about how it could be a good thing and how you could use it to turn into your next sale. Joe Applebaum from Ajax Union in New York City, in his great web series called Street Talk. We have a clip that you're going to love.
Do you ever get angry or agitated about anything? Or are you just cool as a cucumber? This is Street Talk, episode number 171. They say that anger is a bad emotion. You should never feel angry. You should never have resentment. You should never have agitation. But there's something good that comes out of you getting angry. You know what comes out of you getting angry? You're feeling a powerful, powerful emotion. Emotion that makes you not be able to control what you say, not be able to control what you do. Because it means that you really care about something. That you're not just okay with it. You're not just okay with the status quo. You really care about something. Something really bothers you. It makes your blood boil. Why is that good? Why is it good to care? Because when you have passion, when you have care about anything in life, you can make a change. If you don't care about something, it won't matter. It doesn't matter. A therapist once told me, when two people come into me, a marriage therapist once said, when two people come into me and they're fighting, he's like, that's the best thing ever. Why? Because if they just don't care, if they just have apathy, there's no hope for that relationship. I say just get divorced. It's over. You don't care about the relationship. But when you're bickering and fighting and it's hard and there's agitation and you're bothering each other, it's because you actually care. The same thing with business partners. When two business partners just don't care, it won't matter. But when you're in a conference room and we're at each other's throats, that's when it matters. That's when if you could finally find a way to see the other person's point of view, see how much they care about what they care about, and understand that, you can make a positive change in your life, in your business, in your relationship, and take things to the next level. So start inspecting what makes you angry. Start becoming aware of those times where you lost control, where you were agitated, and find out why you get angry. What do you really care about so much? What are your values? Use that feeling to create change in your life. You see, if you don't have passion, you're not going to have that change. If you don't really care, if you have apathy in your life, you're not actually going to feel motivated to and inspired to actually make a dramatic change in your life. If you want to make the world better, if you want to feel progress, if you want to get motivated, you need to have passion. You need to go all in. You need to just push it with everything you have. And when you don't do that, when you don't get agitated, when you don't get angry, then it doesn't matter. So keep pushing it. Keep showing the world that yes, it matters. I am angry. It is okay for me to be angry. It is okay for me to show passion. It is okay for me to be agitated, that I'm not where I need to be, that I can grow, that there's more opportunities for growth, that there's more that I could be doing, there's more that I should be doing. And I'm going to grow, I'm going to do more, I'm going to take my life to the next level. And if you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to be around me while that's happening. Or you can communicate that to me and I can make it a little more subtle for you. I can make it a little more subtle for you on the outside, but in the inside, let me tell you, that passion is going to consume everything and allow me to feel motivated so that I can get you motivated.
So that was Joe Applebaum. He is on fire. He's roaming the streets, can you guess where? Of Brooklyn. And he's on his back and forth on his way to work. He's an amazing guy who literally he motivated himself to lose about 80 pounds through health and exercise. He's literally
keep it off.
He literally lost a 7-year-old. and
not literally. He didn't.
No, figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively. No,
he knows all of his kids. I apologize for that, Doug. But his website is ajaxunion.com. They are an Inc. 500 company for the past 2 years. If that doesn't fire you up and get you a little bit motivated, I don't know what will, but Joe will be here as a regular feature here on Sell or Die.
We had dinner with him last night, and you could just feel the passion coming out of him about anything he works on. He's just so fiery and so passionate, and you could see how he takes anger, something negative, and turns it into something positive.
We're in Charlotte right now, but we're in New York City 3 or 4 times a month.
Yeah,
everyone in New York is angry about something. You cross the street, people are pissed off. You go into Starbucks, people are pissed off. You do anything.
The day after the election, people are pissed off.
Oh my God, are they pissed off. But those people who are pissed off, they show you, they're giving you a lesson. You look at why and you try to figure out, what is this person angry about? Maybe it's the lack of money. Well, instead of being pissed off, maybe they should be making a game plan to get more money or earn more money. And from the political perspective, all those pissed off people are going to come up with really good ideas about how they can do something better or different. And that's what creates our system. All politicians are angry about something. I very rarely see anybody giving some political thing goes, you know, I'm really happy today. No, they're pissed off about something. Now, and Jen and I go to Paris.
But they turn it into something positive. They're pissed off about something, and then they're trying to turn it into, well, let me fix it. Let me make this better. And that's awesome.
So Jen and I go to Paris as often as we possibly can. And a lot of people think French people don't like Americans. And that's not true. French people don't like anybody because they're pissed off people. And I want to look at them. I want to discover what makes them angry so that I can discover something for myself. The opposite of anger is happy.
It's fun trying to get someone who's really pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun trying to, making it your goal to try and make them smile. That's what I do. It's awesome.
I try to make them smile.
Okay, so let's go back to Facebook.
I have a quick question. How do you sell to someone that's angry?
You make them laugh.
Jeffrey, I know you've had the door slammed on your face a few times.
No.
Never.
When I was cold calling in New York City, people would, and I'll leave out the expletive because some people don't like when you say the word fuck, but people would slam the door in my face and say, I have no time for you. And I would knock again, and I would say, did you mean today? Do you have no time today?
So you made them laugh. You made pissed off people laugh, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, I want to talk to this guy more.
It was hysterical.
I love that.
Now, only 30% of the people would engage me after I knocked on the door the second time, but that gives me a 30% engagement factor where there was a 100% no engagement factor. Yeah. So I took their anger and I converted it into slight happiness or a smile, and all of a sudden I quote, broke the ice.
That's cool. All right. We're going to go back to Facebook to get more of your comments. Let's see. We have Joe here. Joe tuned in. Hey, Joe. We have Derek who says, this is not helpful. Well, then stop watching.
Yeah, Derek.
Seriously?
Derek, what are you pissed off about?
Derek is angry, unfortunately.
Sorry, Derek. Go away. Okay. Andre. Andre says, cheers from Brazil. Greg says, great to see this from Alberta, Canada. Tomek, love you, Jeffrey. You don't love me? Seriously?
Well, I do.
All right.
So you're fine.
Corey, most of the name drops I get, oh, we're talking about like using a referral name before.
Yeah.
They either drop a wrong name or someone I don't know or like. Ooh, that's bad. Yeah.
But the best thing to do is just don't drop the name, have a video.
That's like a sleazy way to try and connect with someone.
Yeah.
If you're using my name because you think I know someone, but I didn't make the introduction for you, that's creepy. Ask me to introduce you.
Exactly.
I got a few questions here. One from Emidio. Emidio asks, how often would you call a prospect to follow up on a red hot lead? How many times a week or month would
you
call this person?
Wait a second. If they're a red hot lead.
Red hot.
Doug, they should be calling you, shouldn't they? I mean, aren't they like red hot?
Red hot.
Okay, so if you have a person who you consider to be a hot lead, don't be calling them without an appointment to call them. Have the courtesy to say, I'll call you Tuesday at 10. What I like to do is make an odd time, like Tuesday morning, 9:59. And and that way they get it, they write it down, you know, they know them. And I'm 100% reliable. If I tell you I'm going to call you Tuesday morning at 9:59, you can take all your money out of the bank and bank on it.
You're dialing that number at 9:58?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have to do it in a way where it's engaging. Most salespeople will say, I'll call you Tuesday.
But
seriously?
But here's the thing. If they're a red hot lead.
That pisses me off, by the way.
If when you say they're a red hot lead, does that mean you think they're a red hot lead?
Exactly.
Because if they're not calling you, they don't think they're a red
hot
lead.
The question would be then, hot for who?
Exactly.
All right,
I want all the salespeople in the audience right now to make a list of the people that are hot for you. That's a shorter list.
We got another question here from Henry. Henry asks, how do I sell a short course to teachers that parents pay for? I have to make it so that the teachers don't have to sell me and take the referral risk.
If you want the parents to pay for it, you have to sell it to the parents, not the teachers.
And just get some videos.
Show them how it's going to help their kids.
I guess he would sell the teachers on the fact that the parents would pay for this course.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But if the parents are the buyers, don't they need to be bought in?
Maybe the teachers could act as the sales. I don't know.
It's an
example of an indirect sell, I think. You know, you're trying to, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I think
who's
people,
next, Doug?
People in education, parents and teachers alike, all want to see results for their kids. So show how you're going to help their kids. Show a kid who was struggling with math or whatever and now is like the math genius and have them do a little clip.
We've got a little bit of time left, guys. Final words on objections, preventing objections, battling objections.
It's not a battle if you do it right. It's only a battle if you have not considered the fact that the customer may object to something. Know that your price is in the marketplace and where does it fit? Say, you can start off by saying, we're not the highest price, we're not the lowest price, but we are the best value. Or our prices are fair and our prices are firm. And that way you eliminate all the crapola of having to bicker with somebody about $20 or $1,000.
You're bickering about $20, there's a serious problem.
Exactly. So you have to look at this from the perspective of take responsibility for it first and then deal with it if you absolutely have to.
That's awesome, Jeffrey.
Jen's
That's
giving
great
me the hurry-up sign.
No, I was getting it from Doug, so I was just passing it on. It's like a domino effect here.
I love this. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so whether you're watching or listening, Thank you for joining us on Sell or Die.
This is really fun now.
Yeah, it
this
is fun.
This Facebook Live thing is amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can get all of the back shows. They're pretty good, if I may say so myself. Or whatever you use to listen to your podcast, you can subscribe. Just search Sell or Die. We're back live next week on Facebook Live at 6 p.m. on my Facebook, facebook.com.
Or on my Facebook.
Jen in any minute. Or
on my Facebook. Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer, all one word.
Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there on Facebook Live and sell something, even if your ass falls off.